The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you? Blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here comes you.
It is Blue Monday on The Savage Nation. Well, welcome to The Last Word in Talk Radio. There are two topics tonight that I must tell you, right off the bat, are quite incendiary. They're not incendiary because I'm going to make them so. They're incendiary because they are so. Let's begin with the first one. We live in the most racially divided nation, one of the most racially divided nations on earth. In fact, this nation is more racially divided since the Anointed One was foisted upon us in 2008. He has divided race against race, sex against sex, man against woman, woman against man, because he only knows divide and conquer. And he has many people helping him. And one of them is one of the most vile street preachers that the United States has ever had to put up with, who at a rally over the weekend tried to stir up a race war. I want you to listen to this man. Listen now.
All America that only worked for white males have passed away. All America that only worked for English speaking have passed away. All America that tell you who to sleep with but don't put food in the kitchen has passed away. We see a new America. We see an America of equality, of justice, of fairness. We march because we're going to bring a new America. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. Not for some, not for who you choose, not for who you like, but for all.
So, Al Sharpton, you said that old America only worked for English-speaking white males. So it begs the question of how did you get where you are? You're not a white male and you don't speak English. I don't understand that. Are you an English-speaking white male? And the second question to my audience, really, is this. He works for General Electric, which owns NBC and MSNBC. He's trying to trigger more black-on-white violence, in my estimation. Why do his English-speaking white English-speaking bosses at General Electric permit him to stir up such hatred in the country? We've gone from, in my opinion, we have gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme in one generation. And he is one of the most vile of all the schemers. The next question has to do with something much bigger than this little man, and that is war. War. The war drums are beating. Kerry, who I don't believe, frankly, ever has told the truth in his entire life, wants us to go to war against Syria. Let us see, who else? Elliot Engel of New York wants us to bomb Syria. John McCain, of course, the lunatic, wants us to bomb Syria. There are many others tied into the military-industrial complex who are itching for war. You do know that the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was based upon a lie, and that got us into the Vietnam War. You do know, of course, that there were no weapons of mass destruction. That got us into Iraq. You do know, of course, nobody knows why we are in Afghanistan. And now, as if those wars are not enough of a lesson for us, we have the warmongers trying to drive us into war against Syria when the so-called Free Syrian Army is rife with al-Qaeda and others amongst them who will do the opposite of what we claim we want in the world. So I ask you to listen to John Kerry in clip one and tell me what you think. Go ahead.
What we saw in Syria last week should shock the conscience of the world. It defies any code of morality. Let me be clear. The indiscriminate slaughter of civilians, the killing of women and children and innocent bystanders by chemical weapons is a moral obscenity by any standard. It is inexcusable, and despite the excuses and equivocations that some have manufactured, it is undeniable. The meaning of this attack goes beyond the conflict in Syria itself, and that conflict has already brought so much terrible suffering.
So why is Russia opposing an attack on Assad's army in Syria? Well, for one, Russia is saying that the rebels, so-called, may have killed their own brethren in order to marshal public sympathy for them. This wouldn't be the first time that members of that orientation would have done such a vile thing. I'll give you a small example. Remember during the Lebanon situation with Hezbollah against Israel? Do you remember they claimed Israel killed a Palestinian child? Remember it took 2 years for us to learn that the Palestinians had staged the death of that child? This would not be the first time that side of the aisle, if you want to call them that, if you want to dignify them with that position, would have staged it or would have killed their own civilians to garner world sympathy. But having said that, what business is it of ours is the question. I know you're going to bring up the Holocaust and you're going to bring up Hitler. We all understand that that was then and this is now. However, here's the thing. Russia is not to be dismissed as some third world tin pot dictatorship that will do nothing. And I will remind you that the guns of August, strangely enough, 1917, the guns of August, 1917, were set off when one superpower did something that another superpower didn't like, and by accident, all of them were dragged into World War I. I dread seeing us dragged into World War III. The latest poll tells us that only 9% of Americans are for military intervention in Syria. I bring you this question. Do you support or oppose bombing Assad's forces in Syria, and why? 855-400-7282. Do you support or oppose bombing Assad's forces in Syria, and why? The phone number to the Savage Nation is 855-400-7282. The next soundbite is even more suspicious. It's from John Kerry again, a man not known for his veracity. Listen to clip two.
This is about the large-scale, indiscriminate use of weapons that the civilized world long ago decided must never be used at all, a conviction shared even by countries that agree on little else. Anyone who could claim that an attack of this staggering scale could be contrived or fabricated needs to check their conscience and their own moral compass.
Well, we won't say that it was contrived or fabricated, Mr. Kerry, but there may be evidence that they killed their own villagers in order to get you what you need in order to go to war. Now, before I take more of your calls on this very serious topic, because Elliot Engel's son is not going to go to fight in Syria, John McCain's son is not going to go to fight in Syria, Barack Obama's son is not going to go to fight in Syria, John Kerry's son is not going to be sent to Syria, it will be Mr. and Mrs. America again who will lose their sons. The sons will come home in body bags because of these hateful warmongers who can never get enough of war. Never! There's never enough war for these sickos. And I'll remind you of something else. One of the greatest presidents of our time was Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was the supreme Allied commander during World War II. And he warned us in the 1950s when he was president about a growing connection between the military and the weapons manufacturers. And I have played this speech ever since I began in radio in 1994, and I'll play it again. Eisenhower, please.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Now, he was a member of Old America, that is Dwight D. Eisenhower, one of the English-speaking white males that Al Sharpton apparently detests. He's waiting for the day that we look, I guess, more like Rhodesia, ex-Rhodesia, or like South Africa, where things are just perfect right now. But let's go back to the bigger picture, not the pimple on the political wall. And the bigger picture is war, war, and more war. 9% of the American people are in favor of intervention in Syria. That does not stop Kerry. It does not stop Obama. It does not. Well, actually, Obama, to his credit, is sitting on the fence. And I have to give him credit for that, for sitting on the fence. Do you think we should bomb Assad's forces in Syria? Don't you think Russia will react to such a provocation? Remember, Syria is in Russia's backyard, not in our backyard. It is in Russia's sphere of influence, not in our sphere of influence. Why are we intervening again in an international situation which has literally no bearing on our national security? And there, you have to come to the conclusion that the forces that made trillions of dollars on weapons manufacturing in Iraq and are making less so in Afghanistan are panicking as we get to leave Afghanistan. I mean, we're supposedly going to leave Afghanistan. They're terrified that their business will dry up. This is like firemen starting a fire in order to make certain that firehouses continue to be funded. You get it? That's how many people see this. But I'm open to those of you who want to go to war as long as you don't have to fight it. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. This is the Savage Nation. Let's begin on WFTL in Florida. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to meet you. I will cut to the chase. We have no business involving ourselves in Syria. It is a false flag attack committed by our own undercover agents in order to create more destabilization in the Middle East and create what could be World War III. Russia will not stand by and laugh at us.
Well, I don't know whether it's a false flag event created by the CIA, which is what you're implying. I have no reason to believe that, but I would not put it past those on the so-called rebel side from killing their own civilians in order to marshal international sympathy. So I would leave it in that court. Yes, civilians were killed. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, gas is horrible. But by the way, who sold the gas to Syria? Do you know who sold the gas to Syria that they have?
We did.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be right back to take your calls on the Savage Nation. Be
join
here or be nowhere.
Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start saying a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. That would change my calculus. That would change my equation.
Well, okay. We're all opposed to the killing of innocent civilians. No one's in favor of that. But do you agree with the warmongers that we know for sure that Assad is behind this? Do you feel that we must go to war, even if it's an air war in Syria? Remember, Egypt is in crisis because of Obama's meddling. Do we still need to act as the world's policeman? Can we afford to? We're bankrupt. We're a bankrupt nation. How much meddling can this man do? You forgot about Egypt that he and Hillary Clinton created, the monstrosity in Egypt, created by the same group? George Soros' money, Zbigniew Brzezinski's architecture. I've studied this. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. The overthrow of Mubarak, the institution of Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. Finally, the Egyptians rose up and threw Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood out. And what happened to that? In order to cover up the failure of Obama's Middle East so-called Arab Spring, which I named the Arab Winter, within a month of it, now we're going to look at Syria. And he saved the Syrian people. And who did you save it for? Again, I'll remind you, I'm not going to apologize for all of the great books I've written. In 2005 or 6, I wrote a book called Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. And I said I fear that Bush's intervention in Iraq could turn out to be the worst military blunder of our life, in our lifetime. And I said if it is, the big winner will be Iran. We will see a new Shia kingdom. The ancient Persia will emerge. Was I wrong? Iran's hands are all over Iraq. Iran is pulling the strings in Iraq. So now they have the new Persian Empire emerging. Well, let's go back a little farther in history. Those of you who don't know history are condemned to repeat it. Go back in history and see how far the lines of ancient Persia were drawn. And you will see, once again, that the big winner here is liable to be Iran, not the United States of America. So are we going to act as a Hessian army for the Iranians, who this administration claims are our enemies? Are we going to be another Hessian army again for the Iranians? We don't even know who's running things anymore. All I can tell you is that most Americans, myself included, oppose military intervention, even the intervention of Tomahawk missiles or the Air Force in Syria. Let me tell you that point blank. Number two, I want to bring you back to the big lie about the Serbs. I studied that war in great detail. those 50 days when your government under Bill Clinton bombed the Serbian people and destroyed every bridge on the Danube River, river under the big lie of concentration camps was some of the worst days in my life on radio. I tried to disseminate the truth. I couldn't get it out there. It's one of the greatest travesties of our lifetime. Madeleine Albright was jumping with joy over it. She loved seeing the bombs falling on the Serbian people. And yet there were older Serbian men who stood there and said, as American planes repainted with NATO markings, that's what Clinton did for you. He took American Air Force planes and repainted them with NATO markings. And our Air Force bombed the Serbian people to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. Kosovo had been part of the Serbian nation since the 1300s. They stole it from the Serbian people. I wrote an article about it in 98 called Kosovo, the Oily Tracks Run Through It. But that's a separate story. It was about Caspian oil. I don't expect you to follow every detail of what I am saying right now. This is not a history lesson. This is a radio show. However, it's a popular radio show, and average people call the show and listen to the show. Some of you are more detail-oriented. So let me remind you, Bill Clinton lied, Madeleine Albright lied, the entire liberal media establishment lied, and they told us things that the Serbs had done that were not true in order to justify bombing Belgrade. And an old Serbian man looked up and said the last time he had seen bombs falling from the sky on Belgrade was when Hitler bombed Belgrade with Stuka bombers. He was crying because the Serbs had been the greatest friends of America during World War II. The Serbian partisans rescued our airmen as they fell from the sky. And yet we rewarded them when these socialist psychopaths took over our country. And here they go again. Here they go again. Another war. Why? Tell me the national interest for bombing Syria. Let's start with just a basic question. In whose interest is bombing Syria? Tell me who the winner is. 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, but I advise you, you can't get in. Who is involved in calling the shots? Who wants war? You or me? Not me. Do you? I know Wallbanger did today. Wallbanger wants war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We know now, of course, that they've already used it. I'm sure and confident that they used it again, and they will use it again unless they are reined in and prevented from doing so. And by the way, this gives a blank check to other brutal dictators around the world if they want to use chemical weapons and weapons of mass destruction as well.
Here he goes again. Now, this is the crazy man, McCain, who was either brainwashed in Vietnam or lost his mind in Vietnam, or he's senile or he's just born with a low intelligence. We don't understand what happened to McCain. We have no idea how a man who went to war for the country, served five horrible years in a torture camp in Vietnam, could come back and want to get your son into a concentration camp again. Why is he such a warmonger? Usually ex-military guys that I know are the ones who least like war, incidentally. The ones who've actually fought in combat are the ones who least want war. It's usually fat talk show hosts who want the war, who want to egg you on while they fly around in their jets and smoke cigars. Listen to now what McCain says in clip six.
In a matter of a couple of days, with using standoff weapons, we could take out their runways, take out the 40 or 50 aircraft that they're using, which is dominating the the battlefields and the towns and the cities, and we can supply the right kind of weapons to the rebels, establish a no-fly zone by using moving Patriot missiles up to the border. This can be done very easily. That's what General Keane and the Institute for the Study of War says, despite what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has said, which is absolutely outrageous and ridiculous.
Screw you. How's that, John? Screw you. I'm sick of you. You know, Dempsey is not really someone I admire that much for being too PC in the Army. But Dempsey, who he's talking about here, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is now the enemy of McCain and the warmongers. Those members of the military-industrial complex, like McCain, wanted to push us into war, while Dempsey, who in fact is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said, no, don't do it. Now he's talking about helping the rebels. Who are the rebels, you putz, you? You stupid stumble bum, you! Why don't you define whose side you're on? I know you're against Assad. We all know he's a monster. But sometimes the monster you know is better than the monster you don't know. It's an old saying, John. Maybe you didn't learn it back in your Budweiser days. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Who are the rebels, John? It seems to me this has been planned a long time. And it seems to me that the warmongers who want Assad gone and want the so-called Al-Qaeda forces to succeed in Syria are behind all of this. And this really frightens me. This seems to me part and parcel with the overthrow of Gaddafi in Libya and the arrival on the scene of a tribal rule in Libya, which is what Gaddafi warned would happen. You're having a Somalia emerge in Libya. Again, that's a failure of Obama and Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. Egypt finally threw Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood out, again over the objections of Obama, McCain, and the other warmongers. And now they figured, well, we can't get anywhere in Egypt, so let's see if we can throw Assad to the wolves. Why are they on the side of these people? No one seems to be able to answer that. Nobody can answer that. It's easy to claim you're a humanitarian and we don't want to see gas used. Everyone's on that side. Now, the Israelis, by the way, are buying gas masks as we talk. Here's the headline. Israelis flock to buy gas masks amid Syria turmoil. Thousands of Israelis are lining up for gas masks, ordering them by phone, spurred on by fears that any Western military response to last week's alleged chemical weapons attack in Syria could ensnare their own country in war. Even the New York Post, a scandal sheet, is using the word alleged chemical weapons attack. Even the tabloid, the New York Post, is calling the chemical weapons attack an alleged chemical weapons attack. But to Kerry and to McCain and the other warmongers who are calling for military action to punish the Syrian government, it is not an alleged attack. So I think that they planned this all along. Something is wrong with this whole picture. Again, we have to go back in time. Gulf of Tonkin resolution based on a falsehood. Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. The only people who believed it were Wallbanger and the other neocons in the media. I never did. Never. Check my tapes. Wallbanger was all for war, but he never enlisted. I didn't see him and Rush Limbaugh strap on uniforms and go to Iraq. They didn't join the rebels in Iraq. They egged you on and sent your son over there to come back in a body bag. Well, here we go again. I happened to tune in the Wallbanger today. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I could not believe what I was hearing. He was playing the middle, and he started hemming and hawing. Which side was he on? I don't know. I don't know why, but that's why he's slipping. No one knows what side he's on. Does he know which side he's on? He's wearing ice skates in a roller rink. Or shall I say he's wearing roller skates in an ice rink. He doesn't know where he's turning. And he is symptomatic of what's going on in the media. I, on the other hand, am a student of history. I'm a scholar by training. Whether you like it or not doesn't matter to me. Whether you approve of my scholarship doesn't matter to me. Most of you who are detractors of Michael Savage are not qualified to even judge me. But I can read and I can study and I know history. And something is wrong with this picture. But then again, this is a talk show. I'm not a revolutionary, I'm not a politician, and I'm not out to win a Nobel Prize. I'm not even out to be allowed to enter England for their superb cuisine. No, apparently they reserved the invitations to the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, who has been invited into England while I'm still banned from England. But let's put that aside. Do you approve of Obama bombing Assad's Air Force? And if so, why? And if not, why? I think it's a big question, and I'd like to hear your opinion, because I know that most of you will be opposed to it. I'd like to hear someone who's for it. In fact, I'd like my call screener to find someone who can explain rationally why we should be in Syria. It's like, why are we in Vietnam? Why are we in Syria? What are we doing there? What's going on with this picture? Who is behind this? Okay, let's take some calls. New York City WABC Howard from New York. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, Howard. Turn off the radio. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm here.
Finito. Gone. Gone. Hey, let me tell you the rules of radio. You shut the radio off and you answer. I don't care if you have to put your teeth back in and take them out of the fizzing glass with the Martha Ray water. I don't care. If you took your teeth out and you were cooking your stew, you cannot then wait have me wait for you. There's not a party line. I'm not a relative of yours. You don't know me. It's a national talk show, although I make it sound so comfortable, you think you know me. You don't know me. Everyone thinks they know me. They think they know everything about me. They don't know me at all. I'm asking you now, nothing personal. We're not talking about Indian buffets. I'm not going to talk about greasy Chinese food over the weekend. Getting cheated again by a restaurant I've eaten in for 40 years. But she smiles in my face and gave me, I couldn't find anything in there but slimy vegetables. Seafood. Okay, but I'm not going to talk about the Indian buffet today with a 300-pound liberal in front of me blocking the line. Asking the poor Indians to describe every gluten-free item on the menu with the pandering, oh, how charming, little third world man. And what else do we have here? With a behind on a, you couldn't get around a blocking the line. I had to say, hey, lady, I'd like to have a meal here. Move over. Oh, sure, another Obama voter. I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about war, war, war. See, I'm the conservative, and I'm the bad guy. You liberals are the good guys, but you're what? You're for war? Which side are you on? Which side are the liberals on here? I'm against it. So now what? The liberals are for it because I'm against it? Do they have any idea what's really going on around them? I don't think so. I don't think so because I remember when Clinton was bombing Serbia, I reached a San Francisco politician who was mayor at the time. He said, oh, I'm all for the bombing. Mr. Liberal was all for the bombing, the mayor of San Francisco. It just shows you who they really are. Let's take the next caller. WINS in Virginia. Glenn, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Thank you for trying to keep the entities from pulling the wool over our eyes once again. If we get involved in Syria, and we should not, but if we do, we should attack and destroy the rebels. This whole thing is started. Well, look at Egypt right now. Morsi's out of power, but he's out of power so they can kill the Christians, kill the Coptics, and then he's going to miraculously come back to power and say, it wasn't me, it was the rebels. But in Syria, it is Osama bin Laden who is luring.
Oh, no, wait. Let me go back to Egypt. You're actually wrong about that. The generals are defending the Christians in Egypt from the Islamists who are burning churches and killing Christians in Egypt. It's the generals who actually are protecting the Christians. And if you want to talk about Christianity in Syria, let's talk about it. They are protected by Assad, while the rebels will destroy their churches and murder them. The rebels who Obama and McCain and Kerry want to help are no friends of the Christian and Jewish communities in Syria, which are ancient communities, incidentally. Thank you for the call. Okay, this is not revisionist history. This is the Savage Nation. 855-400-728. To which side are you on? KCMO out of Kansas City. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You got me a lot about the bombing in Serbia. I remember that. And I think about how much, the blue dress. We're not going to go into it. But as far as...
As I understand, she can't go into it anymore either.
Well, as far as we know. But
Yeah, I think she outgrew it. But which side are you on in the Syria thing?
Well, we really have no business in probably more than 80-90% of what we're doing over there. I'm a Gulf War veteran from back in 90, and this is kind of in hindsight, and I take a look at what laid out, how the timetable went along. Okay, Iraq invaded Kuwait. That was, needed to be taken care of, whatever.
Right, that's right. And now look how Kuwait is treating us now. Our good friends in Kuwait, look how nicely they're treating America. But that's besides the point. But they invented WMDs. Didn't Bush put out that big lie?
Well, they did or didn't, but the point I wanted to make was that when U.S. troops parachuted into the Saudi border there, it was because they had to. We could never have gotten U.S. forces into the Middle East before then. And it was just a banquet waiting for these people who manufacture these weapons and do all this. They could be there forever.
Oh, what you're saying is it's one war after another. It's a banquet of weapons use and ammunition, munitions and weapons.
Yes. I mean, blatantly, to see that they had put so much planning into it and somebody was smart enough to not let that crisis go to waste, it's paying off, ridiculously.
Okay, so you as a Gulf War veteran are against intervention in Syria is what I can conclude, correct?
Right.
Okay, that's good. Is there anybody for bombing Syria? I'd like my call screener to find someone who can justify rationally why we should bomb Assad's Air Force. I don't know any rational reason for this because you have to understand what will happen as a result. Okay, we don't have anyone on that side yet. WABC in New York. William, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I am against bombing under any circumstances, reasons being, number one, leaders over there are strong men, and they keep a lid on things. You look at history, you've got Hussein, you've got Mubarak, you've got Gaddafi. Sure, despotic, no question, but they, right. at least they kept things contained.
That's right. They and by the way, also the Shah of Iran kept the Muslim Brotherhood contained. And it was Jimmy Carter who overthrew the Shah of Iran by bringing, he undercut, undermined, overthrew the Shah of Iran, and that permitted Khomeini to come back from exile in London and institute radical Islam, which has spread like a virus around the world. That was Jimmy Carter. And now his descendant, his political descendant, Barack Obama, is doing the same thing, whether it be in Libya or in Egypt and now in Syria.
Right. So that's one point. You can't go in there and blow the lid off it because, frankly, who hates us more, Assad or the rebels? It's hard to say, but, you know, look at Egypt today. I don't think that there's a lot of love for America there right now. So we don't go over there for that reason. The second reason is the cost, the human capital, the economic capital costs. Outrageous extortion. If you want to find somebody who's going to be for it, then you've got to go and you've got to talk to Lockheed. You have to talk to ITT. You have to talk to
Northrop Grumman. That's right. Right. Northrop Grumman. This will fill the factories. And by the way, this would be very good for the economy, wouldn't it? The tried and true method of jump-starting a stalled economy has always been war, hasn't it? FDR used it.
There's no question about it. There's lots of money to be made at the top by selling war. But for the rest of us, the 98% of humanity that doesn't make the billions, no, we don't go. We don't go.
Okay, well, okay, so how do you, I don't know whether you're a conservative or a liberal, it doesn't matter to me. I don't think you need to define yourself by your political orientation to say, this is nuts. In plain English, what the heck are we doing in Syria? What the heck are we doing bombing Assad? Where is the national interest here?
It's not for us. Let them fight themselves into extinction. We'll sit back and watch it. If you see two lunatics fighting to the death, are you going to get between them? I'd say no.
Okay, that's a good analogy, and I've heard it before. If you see two dogs fighting, two pit bulls fighting, if you try to break them up, you'll lose your hand. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In a matter of a couple of days, with using standoff weapons, we could take out their runways, take out the 40 or 50 aircraft that they're using, which is dominating the the battlefields and the towns and the cities, and we can supply the right kind of weapons to the rebels, establish a no-fly
zone. Are you crazy?
By using moving Patriot missiles up.
Are you insane? You're gonna support the rebels who are Al-Qaeda? Look, does anyone understand what I'm saying to you? It's not just taking out Assad. Who are you benefiting? His opponents. Who are his opponents? Those who hate Christians, those who hate Jews, those who want to institute Sharia law. Remember, Assad, as despotic as he is basically a Stalinist. Terrible man, Stalin. But at least he's someone that we've worked with in a certain way for a long period of time. There was stability until Obama came along and started screwing with the Middle East. So I'd like to hear your opinion on this. Who is for the war and why? I want to know the why of it. Jeff, W-I-L-K in Pennsylvania, is for war. Go ahead, Jeff. You've got the floor.
Absolutely. When a man goes out and poisons people, basically saying he can poison anybody anytime, in a thousand people at a time, he deserves to die. Period. End of story. And the
Hold it. How do you know Assad did it? How do you know Al-Qaeda didn't do it?
How do you know he didn't? All you do
is, well, wait, but you're going to war on an assumption that he did. That's a pretty big decision.
How do you know it's Al-Qaeda is going to be there?
What do you mean, how do I know Al-Qaeda is going to be where?
Well, you speak pretty good, but I don't understand where you're putting up.
Speak pretty good? I mean, if you studied as much as you talk, you'd understand that the rebel forces are primarily Al-Qaeda.
I realize you read
the local newspaper, but my friend, you need to read a little wider than the Wilkes-Barre Gazette to get a feel for what's going on in Syria.
The people that are dying are doing it for liberty. They're in their T-shirts and shirts and jeans, and they're being...
Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Would you say the same thing about the Egyptian rebel forces, that they were for liberty?
You don't think they're fighting for their independence?
Who?
You don't think so. You think they're fighting...
No, no, well, sir, let's go back to Egypt. We heard the same argument for the so-called rebels in Egypt. And who did they turn out to be? Didn't they turn out to be the Muslim Brotherhood?
The Muslim Brotherhood won an election. He's out now. The army took over and said, "You're out. We're going to get control of this country somehow, some way, but we're not going
to
let..."
So you were in favor of the burning of churches and the marching of nuns like prisoners of war while your friends were in power in Egypt?
It's part of the evolution.
But you just said when innocent people are hurt, they should be killed. So you were in favor of the killing of innocent Christians and the burning of churches? I don't think so.
Hey, people do die. I don't know if you've known that going up in New York and reading all those books where you can talk to girls and get them undressed, but out of their clothes.
You're very clever. I realize the Wilkes-Barre Gazette has given you great knowledge in between the comic strips on Sunday. So you're a guy in favor of war. You'd like to see Assad bombed, is that it? And who will take over Syria if that happens?
You know who will take it over? Somebody other than a guy who goes out and haphazardly just throws out some gas to kill 1,000 people.
What do you mean? How do you know he did it? Where is the evidence?
100,000 people.
Where is the evidence that Assad did it? Russia says that they didn't do it.
Who's Russia? There is no such thing as Russia. It's Putin. Get up.
Right, and there's no such thing as America. It's Obama. We have a mini dictatorship here in case you haven't read it in the Wilkes-Barre Gazette. What do you think? You live in a democracy? I'll be back for another hour of bodily combat here on the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation, the number is 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all day. He'll come to
the reported number of victims, the reported symptoms of those who were killed or injured. The first-hand accounts from humanitarian organizations on the ground, like Doctors Without Borders and the Syria Human Rights Commission. These all strongly indicate that everything these images are already screaming at us is real.
Yeah, but they're all left-wing fanatics like you, Kerry. You never said anything honest in your entire political life. Why should we believe John Kerry when he's a known liar? I don't care if he's Secretary of God. It doesn't matter to me. There are many valid reasons not to go into Syria and bomb Assad's forces. By the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation. We're talking about something extremely important, which is war, war, war. And what's shocking to me, but understandable really at the same time, is that all of the peace-loving liberals are in favor of bombing Assad in Syria, while conservatives like Michael Savage are opposed to war. How does that figure? How does that work? I thought I was the warmonger. I thought you twisted liberals love peace and you blew bubbles into the assault weapons of the enemy. You know, I had a man on the show last week named Malid Shubat, former Muslim Brotherhood member, former PLO member, jailed by the Israelis, who's now a peace activist. He speaks and reads Arabic because he's of Arab descent. And he just published an article that says the following: evidence, Syrian rebels use chemical weapons, not Assad, by Walid Shubat and Ben Barak. And I'll read it to you. Recent news of a chemical weapons attack in Syria smacks of desperation. The question comes down to who is most desperate right now, the Assad regime or the Muslim Brotherhood rebels? Consider that since June, Assad's forces have been winning. According to a CBS News report from last month, victories for the rebels have become increasingly rare. Okay? Now we go down in the article. And here's what he says. This is from a Washington Times article by Sean Waterman, dated May 6, 2013. And this was the last allegation of chemical weapons use. Quote, testimony from victims strongly suggests it was the rebels, not the Syrian government, that used sarin nerve gas during a recent incident in the Revolution-Iraq Nation, a senior UN diplomat said Monday. This is from May. Carla Del Ponte, a member of the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on Syria, told Swiss TV there were strong concrete suspicions, but not yet incontrovertible proof, that rebels seeking to oust Syrian strongman Bashar al-Assad had used the nerve agent. But she said her panel had not yet seen any evidence of Syrian government forces using chemical weapons, according to the BBC. That was then. And then Shobat goes on and says, today, while the rebels are more desperate than they were at the time of the article, evidence of rebels using chemical weapons is available. Evidence Assad's regime has used them is not. So, you know, who are you going to believe here? John Kerry, who's never been known to tell the truth? Go to Shobat.com, and you'll see some video. Here's a video from a Syrian TV news report, which shows chemicals and weapons seized by the Syrian government in the rebel stronghold of Jobar, by the way. And some of the labels on the chemical weapons are in English. No kidding. Where'd they get that from? Who gave them the chemical weapons? And here's another video on his website. In this video, two Syrian rebels, the Muslim Brotherhood gang, according to Shobat, can be heard coordinating an attack on a nearby building. As smoke billows a short distance from the building, a rebel on the ground can be heard directing someone to change his direction. At that point, the rebel from the launch point can be heard talking about using sarin gas. This is on a video on his website. In this video of a Russia Today news report originally broadcast on or before June 16, 2013, testimony from a UN panel is reported to demonstrate that rebel groups, not the Assad regime, was responsible for the use of chemical weapons in general, sarin gas in particular, which backs up the claims in the previous video. So, who are you going to believe here? It's a long story. I can't read you anymore. Go to Shobat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com, and see what he has to say. And what he's saying is what I told you, but I want to conclude it with this. Earlier this month in Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood supporters were caught behaving as victims of oppression at the hands of the military. They might have gotten away with it if nothing but still shots were taken. Unfortunately for these miscreants, video was recorded that revealed a staged mass display of despicable behavior. Syria's Muslim Brotherhood rebels would never get away with launching chemical weapons and taking credit for it. They have to do so while blaming Assad. It's straight out of the Nazi playbook and a violation of two major commandments. Thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not bear false witness. However, the Muslim Brotherhood, as usual, provides more evil spin. It bears false witness while committing murder in order to push an agenda. Lying, bearing false witness, blood libel, and murder. He concludes, yes, that smells like the Brotherhood. And that is why, my friends, I say, why should you believe Kerry and McCain? They're warmongers. 855-407-282, your opinion counts. Let's go to San Francisco. Joe on KSFO, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I think they should bomb the hell out of their Air Force, because not only is it going to disable their Air Force, they're going to get down in the streets and fight each other. Some countries would have to supply mines and this and this.
I don't know what you're saying. So you're in favor of bombing for what reason?
I think it's going to stop the economy.
Oh, it's good for the economy. Okay, you don't really mean that. You're just doing it to pull my chain. Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay, I'm going to take that. Some guy in a car. It's a schmuck with a cell phone. KSFO, Anik, a woman, has been in Syria. Anik, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
You, I was listening to you when you talked about Serbia, and we lied to again. I went to Syria 3 years ago. And at that time, Assad was praised by Hillary Clinton. What I saw, because my guide was an Arab, a Christian Arab, is that he could worship as he wished. He took us to churches with, it was a holiday, a Christian holiday, and there were speakers outside.
Oh, so the monster Assad permits freedom of religion in Syria, does he? And you know as well as I know what the rebels will do if they get control. They will kill Christians and bomb the churches as they did in Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. So we have this experience. Why doing it over and over again?
So explain to me why John Kerry, John McCain, Elliot Engel, Lindsey Graham, Barack Obama, and the rest of this liberal cabal are going to war against Assad. Why? Why are they in favor of Al-Qaeda? Why?
I have I have a picture, I had a picture about a year ago of John Kerry, who was a very good friend of Assad. And they were with their wives sitting at a little round table in one of the castles of Assad, and they were buddy-buddy. So John Kerry will stab anybody in the back. So he's pleasing his master, Obama.
But why does Obama want the radical Muslims to ascend to power in Syria, as he did in Libya, as he did in Egypt, as he now wants to do in Syria? What is in it for Obama? What is going on here?
Well, you can look at his preacher, Jeremiah Wright. He said that we deserve 9/11. So, and Obama has always been...
Oh, you mean Reverend Wright's preacher who said we deserved it, huh?
Yeah.
Somebody wrote me this. They said the Tonkin Gulf incident, which led the U.S. to declare war on North Vietnam, never happened. The WMDs that only the wallbanger believed in got us into Iraq. Now the U.S. is blaming President Assad for an incident Sunni rebels may have caused. He writes, the Sunnis started the civil war in Syria to gain power from the Shiite president al-Assad. And then he concludes with this. He said, Obama is a Sunni Muslim. Get it? Is that a possible reality? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want you to see what's happened to your country under this demagogue Obama. Russia now sounds more peace-loving and more rational than the United States. You listen to Kerry. He speaks unequivocally about bombing Syria, as though he knows for certain what's going on, and that bombing is the answer. And then you read what the Russian foreign minister writes, and you say, who is the clear-headed individual and which nation is on a more steady course? Russia warned the United States on Sunday against repeating past mistakes, meaning Iraq, saying that any unilateral military action in Syria would undermine efforts for peace and have a devastating impact on the security situation in the Middle East. The Russian foreign ministry said its statement was a response to U.S. actions to give it the option of an arms strike against Syria. And it drew a parallel between reports Syrian President Assad's forces had used chemical weapons and Washington's 2003 intervention in Iraq following accusations by then-President George Bush's administration that Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's government possessed weapons of mass destruction. So I ask you again, do you find yourself in agreement with our administration or with Putin? Is it possible for us to really know what's going on there? Now, if we don't really know what's going on there, why are we bombing? Why, we're bombing first and then we're going to find out later we were wrong? Is that what you'd like to see? Who's going to benefit by that? America? Where is our national interest in Syria? You liberals are now warmongers. Again, all over again, the liberals are calling for bombing Syria. Isn't it interesting? And the conservatives like me, Michael Savage, are against it. How does that work? So who's the real liberal and who's the real conservative? Who's the real peace lover and who's the real warmonger here? John Kerry again? The peace nick John Kerry is for bomb, bomb, bomb. We've got to kill for peace. He didn't learn anything from Vietnam. And McCain, that strange Dr. Strangelove? Something is wrong. At about 7:34, meaning 10:34 on the East Coast, we're going to have Aaron Klein on the show. Aaron is an Israeli writer. He's on WABC on the weekends, and he knows what's going on more so than most people in the media. I will ask him what side he's on. I don't really know. I think he more or less knows from talking to people on the, let's say, he speaks to people on the opposition, you know, I mean the Arab side. I'd like to hear what he has to say. WFTL in Florida, Ross, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to say that the international bankers and the weapon manufacturers are basically destroying this country economically, and that's who's really benefiting from these wars, and that's who's pushing for these wars. And if you look back at history, ever since John F. Kennedy was killed, then they tried to pull the USS Liberty stunt and get us in the war with Egypt back then. And if the Liberty would have sunk, that would have got America in the war against the Arab world. And if you look at,
Hold it. Slow down. You're bringing up issues that I know, but most people don't know what you're referring to. So who are you blaming all of this on?
The international bankers and the weapons...
But the international bankers are a code word for Jews, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay, because that's usually the code word amongst the American fascists. When they say international banker, they mean Jew. Okay, as long as we're clearing the air.
No, I believe that's like the bankers actually manufactured another side. So the finance...
All right, so you're in plain English, you're against it. Thank you for the call. That's a rational opinion of my... estimation. Now, if you look at the internet, they're all talking about this ex-Mickey Mouse girl, Cyrus, whatever her name is. I don't even know her name, who basically did a burlesque and a striptease at a youth award. Her tongue was out. Her genitals were basically pressed against the male partner. And you take a look at the degeneracy in America today under Obama. Yes, I will blame him because he has no dignity whatsoever. Just as we've seen a black-on-white hate crime epidemic in America and he says nothing. Just as we see a degeneracy in Video Music Awards and he says nothing. The man has a bully pulpit. He could put a stop to this. He could frown upon it and wave his finger and say, you know what? This is not right for America. And I want to see clean America again. I don't want to see a degenerate like this doing it at a youth award. It's uncalled for, Hollywood. Clean it up. But he's not doing it, is he? It's all as a result of the Weimar Republic that we're living in. We're living in the equivalent of the Weimar Republic, let us say, on steroids. What went on in Germany in the 20s was nothing compared to what's going on in terms of cultural degeneracy in America today. You look at Miley Cyrus. I heard she was once a Mickey Mouseketeer. Look at what this girl did. Look at what this girl did at the awards, wearing underwear, a brassiere. This is a youth award event. This is a youth award. Pressing her genitals against a male dancer. Sticking her tongue out, wearing horns. Why? This is a girl who once danced for Mickey Mouse. As I said earlier with Al Sharpton, where we see we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme in one generation. In this case, I have some other choice comments for you on Miley Cyrus. I don't know where it is. I don't want to misquote myself and get into trouble, but I think I lost it. I thought it was clever. I'll have to find it. I don't know where I put it, but it was pretty good. Whatever. I'm trying to lighten it up a bit because it's a little heavy, this topic. And I could tell you right now, there is no stopping these warmongers. There is no stopping the manufacturers of cruise missiles. Just as Hitler needed to use his weapons on Guernica to practice bombing runs for World War II, it looks to me like America is going to practice bombing runs on Assad's Air Force. As much as I hate to say it, that's how I see it. It's one man's opinion. I call him as I see him. It's as simple as that. I'm not here to please you. And if you don't like what I have to say, I'm sorry. The higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. Nietzsche wrote that, and thus spake Zarathustra. I quoted that last week. The higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. I put up with it for 19 years now. 855-407-2822. Will on KSFO. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage.
Well, go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I think that we should, go to war.
But why? Why should we go to war?
Well, we went to war with the Iraq situation, so...
Yes, but it was based on a false notion of weapons of mass destruction. There were no weapons of mass destruction. It was a fake.
Exactly, just like this.
So what, you mean so we should make another mistake?
There is no difference. It's the machine...
Are you crazy? Are you stoned? Are you just a stoner who's called the show to sound clever? You're not making any sense, Will. You just said it was a mistake to go into Iraq, so you're saying make the same mistake again and go into Syria? What sense does that make?
No, I'm saying our government...
All right, take a walk. Take a walk. Don't even call my show. Go call KQED. You're made for KQED, not for the Savage Nation. You're not ready for prime time. If you're ready for prime time, call 855-407-2822. Coming up after the break, Aaron Klein from the Middle East, from Jerusalem, his opinion and his new book, Impeachable Offenses. He will argue for impeachment. He says Obama has committed impeachable offenses. We're not talking anymore about Miley Cyrus doing a striptease in front of children and Obama saying nothing, permitting the cultural degenerates to spit in the face of America's families.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-407-282. Savage.
All right, for an hour and a half, I've been arguing against intervention in Syria. I am saying it is a false flag event. I am saying we have no idea who gassed who. I am saying there is no national interest in bombing Assad's forces. I am saying that the rebels consist of Al-Qaeda. I am saying that Christians will be slaughtered and churches will be burned if we take Assad out. That is what I am saying. Isn't it interesting that the Iraq war was blamed bitterly on neocons by so-called liberals when Bush was in power, and today it is the neo-libs who are trying to force us into bombing Syria? Well, for another opinion on this, we go to Aaron Klein, who is a Jerusalem correspondent. He has a new book out called Impeachable Offenses. But more than that, Aaron lives in Jerusalem, and he has contacts, let us say, deeply on the other side. Aaron Klein, welcome to the Savage Nation. Aaron, on the Syria issue, which side are you on? Aaron.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay, so which side are you on the Syria issue?
The side that I'm on is the side of truth, Michael. Let me tell you that on Monday, this was right before I left the Middle East to come to New York to launch the book Impeachable Offenses, I received information. So this was 2 days before the chemical attack that everybody is blaming on Bashar Assad of Syria. I received information from Middle Eastern security officials, I put it out, that Turkey has been behind the scenes trying to agitate the United States, the international community, into a military confrontation. Why?
Hold it. Now let's slow down. Is Turkey a Sunni or a Shia-dominated Muslim nation?
Yeah, Turkey is Sunni. Turkey is dominated by the Sunnis, but more than that, they're very close to the Muslim Brotherhood, which helps to answer the question of why now. Turkey just lost Egypt. The Egyptian military is now waging a war against the Muslim Brotherhood, which is pretty much the de facto enemy of Western civilization, so I can't believe that that isn't being supported by the United States. So then, lo and behold, if you, Michael Savage, if you are Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, not that you're anywhere close to being anything like him, but if you're winning the war against the rebels, which even the New York Times is admitting that he's doing, and the international community said that the one red line that would actually draw an international response, that would actually draw a bombing campaign against Assad's forces, which you can't afford, is a chemical weapons attack, Assad would have to be a blithering idiot to go and actually carry out the one thing that would actually...
Yes, and by the way, the week that the chemical attacks allegedly occurred was the week the UN inspectors were on the ground not too far away. So what sense does it make to believe that he would have done this?
That's the big question here. Who did this? I don't know who did it. Nobody knows who did it, but Bashar Assad, the Russians...
Well, let's put this aside. Aaron, is there anything in the U.S. national interest in the Syria situation? Where is the U.S. interest here?
Yeah, because if not, then and specifically, if this is not a war that the United States...
No, Aaron, I don't think you could hear me. Aaron Klein, listen. Is there any U.S. interest in Syria whatsoever?
The interests actually are, interestingly, it's more oil. It's oil pipelines that Iran is trying to build versus an oil pipeline that Turkey is trying to build. But are there national security interests?
Whoa. I remember when Clinton bombed Serbia to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. I wrote an article for WorldNet Daily or Newsmax. I don't know which one at the time. The oily tracks run through Kosovo. It was for Newsmax. And it was to build a pipeline out of the Caspian Sea. Are you telling me we have another oil situation here, and that's what this is all about, and that's what's agitating Kerry and McCain and Elliot Engel?
Well, listen, we have to explain why it is that first in Benghazi, the United States was aiding, I mean, let's make no bones about it, they were giving weapons to jihadists affiliated with Al-Qaeda. That's who the rebels are. Why in the world is the United States supporting jihadist-led rebels? There is oil interest, absolutely. It's actually a massive... gas and oil interests. By the way, not just in, not only in Syria, also in Libya, which is home to the largest underground reserve of natural gas in the world, Libya.
Wow.
So
now, Aaron, I know you came on the show to talk about your book, and I don't want to give you short shrift. The book is called Impeachable Offenses. It's out tomorrow. You were kind enough to come on the show tonight. Lay out for my audience in a few simple strokes of your brilliant mind. What has Obama done that's actually impeachable? Where are the high crimes and misdemeanors?
First of all, I mean, we have to define what a high crime is. A high crime is a crime committed by a person in
while they're on marijuana.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, we have very specific. I mean, President Obama has bypassed Congress, for example. In when Congress failed to pass the DREAM Act, President Obama comes, and I have this in impeachable offenses, and creates de facto immigration law, and literally throws...
Yes, I was livid over that because those 3 million DREAMers voted for him as sure as I'm sitting here. And that's how he got reelected. That's right. So that would you say that was impeachable? Then why have the Republicans been silent? Sorry, I even asked the question. Give me the next reason. There are no Republicans. Next question.
There are no Republicans. If they were, they would be talking about impeachable. But what about releasing criminally legal aliens from jail? Now, I know that there was a lot of talk that this was blamed on the sequester, but in my book, I cite government documentation that shows this has been going on since 2009. It's impeachable. It's inexcusable. Releasing a larger number than what is publicly known, plus, of course, Obamacare, which is ripped apart in the book. Obviously, the argument is, well, Obamacare went to the Supreme Court, and so therefore the Supreme Court ruled it constitutional. Well, I show that actually the Obama administration has been changing the law without authorization from Congress, changing the way they're implementing the law.
So it's not Obamacare per se. You're saying his modifications, in your opinion, by degree, are impeachable offenses?
His modifications, in the opinion of constitutional scholars, of organizations across the political spectrum, that I quote, yes, indeed, that these bypass Congress, that this is the IRS, the Department of Homeland Health and Human Services, rewriting the health care law without consulting Congress. Well, it's just the way that the health care law even came into fruition. The genesis possibly violated the Constitution. So we cite this in the book, Impeachable Offenses.
Okay, so you wait. Now, I want to be neutral here, because impeachment is a very serious act. Not only do I not think Obama will be impeached, but I don't think we have enough time to impeach him, particularly since we have no opposition party. But which crime really rises to the high crime and misdemeanor level, Aaron, truthfully?
Well, by the way, it's high crimes, misdemeanors, and bribery. There's a whole chapter on the green section that could constitute impeachable bribery.
All right, that's interesting. You mean like Solyndra? Where did the $500 million go? What happened to the money?
It's of millions of dollars in the stimulus bill to political cronies and even to people who helped to write the stimulus bill, and then their companies got hundreds of millions of dollars. So is that
okay, bribery? So you would put that under the bribery statutes.
Yeah, and we're talking about high crimes. What about Benghazi? What about possibly giving arms to our jihadist enemies? That violates...
Now, that to me is the one that worries me the most. Why is he on the side of jihadists from Libya through Egypt to Syria? This requires an impeachment hearing in order to get to the bottom of it. Is it by accident or on purpose? So even if he could not be impeached, the hearings themselves would probably bring out some very important evidence.
That goes far beyond what has been put out about the weapons to jihadists, the aid to jihadists in Libya. In fact, actually, this could explain, this is bombshell, this could explain potentially why the Benghazi facility was attacked in the first place. We have to look at what was going on inside that so-called consulate that was not a consulate. The United States never had...
I don't want to get dragged back into Benghazi, as important as it is, Aaron. Your book is called Impeachable Offenses, and it's available when, Aaron?
It's available officially tomorrow. And by the way, speaking of Syria, the same exact doctrine that President Obama is likely going to use in Syria, responsibility to protect, he used in Libya. It could be unconstitutional, and there's a whole chapter just on that, which is very relevant.
That's a very important point. And who was the architect of that protection clause? Who wrote that? Samantha Powers?
To protect, which was written...
Wait, Aaron, stop. You're not hearing me. Who wrote it? Samantha Powers?
The power, and guess who was on the board? Hanan Ashrawi, which was the deputy of Yasser Arafat, the Holocaust denier Hanan Ashrawi, and Samantha Power wrote, crafted, responsible...
Aaron, then why is John McCain on the side of bombing Syria? Why is Dr. Strangelove on the same side as the neo-libs who want war in Syria?
Well, that's the question that needs to be asked. Where do his allegiances ultimately lie? Are they with the United States, or are they with another larger, let's say, internationalist agenda? Or at the end of the day, is it about money? Is it about oil? Is it about gas? These are questions that really need to be answered. But the larger question is this really in U.S. national security? In fact, is there an immediate impending national security crisis? If not, going to war without consulting Congress, using this responsibility to protect doctrine that violates U.S. That violates international sovereignty is very questionable and possibly unconstitutional.
Right. So your book, Impeachable Offenses, I do hope it triggers discussion at the very least and people demanding answers. I highly recommend Aaron Klein's book, Impeachable Offenses. And Aaron, I wish you great luck on your book tour. The phone number is 855-407-2282. I want to go to a domestic issue, a little one, which is this Miley Cyrus, a former Mickey Mouseketeer, doing a striptease last night at a youth award without a word of commentary by the president who has the bully pulpit. And I not so sarcastically wrote when I saw this, and it's a disgusting act, and I'm not a prude, that we've gone from Mickey Mouse to lift up your blouse in one generation. From Mickey Mouse to lift up your blouse in one generation. How do you feel about that? Jamie from WFTL, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I highly recommend Aaron Klein's book.
Jamie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to comment on your Miley Cyrus, and I just want to tell you that I came home from work last night. My daughter was absolutely embarrassed to even tell me that she saw this. What an absolute adolescent, disgusting pig she made of herself. My daughter used to follow Hannah Montana, and I am just absolutely appalled that the fact that MTV continued to...
Yeah, but who's running MTV but degenerates of the highest order? These are sick, degenerate drug addicts who have gotten increasingly brazen under Obama because there's no government intervention to stop this pornography.
Absolutely. And I'm absolutely appalled that they continued to roll the cameras as if it was nothing. I have never been more disgusted.
Now, wasn't this for children? Wasn't this the Video Music Awards primarily for young kids? Thank you for the call. 855-407-2282. If you care to talk about the striptease show or bombing Syria in the same breath, you can do so by calling the Savage Nation. WLQR, Ken in Ohio, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes.
Ken, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. You know what? I got to honestly tell you, I think we should seriously bomb the living crap out of that place.
Right, that's a very brilliant statement. And why?
Yes. Well, you know what? Assad has been doing so many crazy things.
Sir, do we know that Assad gassed his own people? Do you know that for a fact?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, neither do I. And so, therefore, don't you think we should be a little timid in dropping bombs before we know who did this? What if you found out that after we dropped the bombs, that the UN proved definitively that it was the other side who did it? Where would that leave us? We're just mad bombers who drop bombs because we feel like it? Think about what you're saying. We don't know what he did. It's not saying he's a good man. He's a horrible person. You understand that? From Mickey Mouse to lift up your blouse in one generation, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, and there's no guarantee the cruise missiles will be able to take out all the chemical weapons. And there's been a lot of talk about a no-fly zone. That may have been helpful a year ago. A no-fly zone will only benefit the rebel forces. Again, who are the rebel forces? 50% of the rebel forces are al-Qaeda and the jihadists. So I don't know which side to pick here. All I know, I want to pick the American side and protect them from any use of these chemical weapons against Americans.
Now, he has the best opinion. That's Representative Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas. The warmongers are John Kerry, in case you missed it, John McCain, Elliot Engel of New York, and, of course, the president himself is no doubt behind the bombing of Syria. And again, you have to be very cautious here, because if we should start bombing Assad, and then we find out that it's another job like the Iraq situation where there were no WMDs, how are you going to feel then? And so who's pushing this? Why, it's John Kerry, a liberal, right? John McCain, a liberal. Elliot Engel, New York liberal. It's the liberals pushing us into war. How does that figure? WAPI in Alabama. David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage.
My thing is, I just think nobody has any common sense anymore. I mean, if you look at this logically speaking, you know, Assad stands nothing to gain at all from crossing that red line and drawing the United States into a conflict with him by bombing civilians. If you know, if you were the dictator, wouldn't there be a bunch of dead liberal Libyan rebels instead of a bunch of civilians?
Well, we've been saying that there's no benefit for Assad to have used chemical weapons just when he was winning the war. The only people who are benefiting from this are the other side, the Al-Qaeda. That's what we've been saying. But I think your main point on my screen is this. It says to me you are saying that Obama has no reason to bomb Syria, that there's no gain for Obama. Is that your point?
No.
Bad call screening. Thank you. 855-407-282 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. And we're also talking about the striptease show last night at the MTV Awards by an ex-Mouseketeer, where we have gone from Mickey Mouse to lift up your blouse in front of children. All the while, the president said nothing. You say, well, why should he? Because he should. He has the bully pulpit. He could have done a lot of things that he hasn't done. He seems to talk about things that he shouldn't talk about. He intervened in the case of Zimmerman. He said if he had a son, it would look like Trayvon Martin. Well, he didn't say that about the old man who was beaten to death, the 88-year-old World War II veteran Shorty, beaten to death by two blacks with flashlights last week. I didn't hear that coming out of Al Sharpton's yap. All I heard was victimhood again. Victim. Did you hear Al Sharpton's speech at some victimhood rally over the weekend? I don't even know what the rally was, frankly. Again, yeah, the anniversary of what? Of hate-mongering. You got to hear this because you're not going to believe what you're going to hear. But you may as well hear clip number 13 right now.
All America that only worked for white males have passed away.
I'm still here.
All America that only worked for English speaking have passed away. Oh. All America that tell you who to sleep with, but don't.
All right, knock it off. You get the picture. This despicable creature says that only the old America has passed away that worked for white males who were English speaking. So how did he become a spokesman for General Electric on MSNBC? He's not an English-speaking white male, is he? Or did I miss something here? Do you understand how vile this man is? And you know, the real question here is not why he does it. We know why, because look how far he's gotten with his hate. Ah, that's not the question. The question is, why does General Electric, which owns NBC, permit this vile creature to broadcast on their airwaves? I believe in freedom of speech. But this is hate-mongering. It is hate-mongering for Sharpton to go before a rally at the MLK rally and say, old America that only worked for white males has passed away? Old America that only worked for English-speaking has passed away? Old America who tell you who to sleep with but don't put food in the kitchen has passed away, and this schmuck has a TV show on MSNBC? How far can America's media fall that this street bum is allowed to get away with it without a word from his agenda-driven idiot friends in the media? Well, okay. What he said at that MLK rally would have made MLK himself blush with shame. Because MLK would say, you know what, Al and Jesse? You've taken my have a dream and you've turned it into I have a scheme. It's worked real good for you, Jesse, hasn't it? Al, it's worked real good for you, an uneducated street dolt like you, with a questionable divinity degree no one ever knows where it came from. You have a big job. You're very famous. You go to the White House and you advise presidents. And you're not a white male. How'd that happen? Because I have a scheme that's worked real well. We have a lot of problems in this country, and they're not getting better. They're going to get worse before they get better, if they ever get better. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here we are, Monday, August 26, 2013, and suddenly it's yesterday, right? Now we have warmongers pushing Obama to bomb Syria. Warmongers like John Kerry, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Elliot Engel. I don't believe a word of it. Of course there are dead people. We're all opposed to gassing of innocent civilians. But knowing Al-Qaeda and their minions, how do we know who gassed the people? Moreover, Russia is a friend of Assad. I don't want to see World War III, and yet we're liable to see it. Now remember, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, there was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. It was created in order to create the Vietnam War. Iraq, WMDs, remember that big lie from the Bush team? What was that about? Nothing. Why are we in Afghanistan? We don't know. So now we're going to get into Syria for what reason? Chemical weapons? Okay, my friends, this is getting serious. So, who's pushing Obama? Answer, warmongers. Now go to michaelsavage.com. You'll see a story that should really shock you. The new leader of the Muslim Brotherhood has been invited and is living in London, but Michael Savage is still banned from entering the United Kingdom. You haven't read that on the Drudge Report recently, have you? Speaking of which, Savage predicts he will take over the Hannity radio slot, and it's a prediction. It was written up by WND, also on my website, Why Savage Rules the World and the Rest of the SF National Broadcasters Are Poseurs. It's a good article. American Legion. Nice guys, huh? Well, they suspected the communist IRS targeted it as well. You see, because they are too white, I guess, and too American. The World War II veteran, 88-year-old, who survived Okinawa only to be beaten to death by two black youths with flashlights. Well, you know that story, you forgot about it. Yeah. How about the Oklahoma shooter who we said didn't commit a hate crime? He boasted of knocking out white people, but the DA claims race was not a factor. Yeah, okay. Filthy Filner resigned. He says it was a witch hunt. He didn't even do it. You know what? Knowing the liberal media, it's possibly true. 855-407-2822. Moronic Al Gore, the liar, likens global warming deniers to slavery and apartheid perpetrators. Screw you, Al. You're a con man, in my opinion. There are thousands of scientists who disagree with your con. Let's go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com. The tyrant who forces mothers to drown their babies. Then there's a beautiful picture of an orangutan in a rag. The king of the gypsies was laid to rest in an air-conditioned coffin. Well, there are interesting stories. And now we're back to all the news of the day. Syria. We have the warmongers trying to drive us into war against Syria when the so-called Free Syrian Army is rife with Al-Qaeda and others amongst them who will do the opposite of what we claim we want in the world. So I ask you to listen to John Kerry in clip one and tell me what you think. Go ahead.
What we saw in Syria last week should shock the conscience of the world. It defies any code of morality. Let me be clear. The indiscriminate slaughter of civilians, the killing of women and children and innocent bystanders by chemical weapons is a moral obscenity. By any standard, it is inexcusable, and despite the excuses and equivocations that some have manufactured, it is undeniable. The meaning of this attack goes beyond the conflict in Syria itself, and that conflict has already brought so much terrible suffering.
So why is Russia opposing an attack on Assad's army in Syria? Well, for one, Russia is saying that the rebels, so-called, may have killed their own brethren in order to marshal public sympathy for them. This wouldn't be the first time that members of that orientation would have done such a vile thing. I'll give you a small example. Remember during the Lebanon situation with Hezbollah against Israel? Do you remember they claimed Israel killed a Palestinian child? Remember it took 2 years for us to learn that the Palestinians had staged the death of that child? This would not be the first time that side of the aisle, if you want to call them that, if you want to dignify them with that position, would have staged it or would have killed their own civilians to garner world sympathy. But having said that, what business is it of ours is the question. I know you're going to bring up the Holocaust and you're going to bring up Hitler. We all understand that that was then and this is now. However, here's the thing. Russia is not to be dismissed as some third world tin pot dictatorship that will do nothing. And I will remind you that the guns of August, strangely enough, 1917, the guns of August, 1917, were set off when one superpower did something that another superpower didn't like, and by accident, all of them were dragged into World War I. I dread seeing us dragged into World War III. Do you agree with the warmongers that we know for sure that Assad is behind this? Do you feel that we must go to war, even if it's an air war in Syria? Remember, Egypt is in crisis because of Obama's meddling. Do we still need to act as the world's policeman? Can we afford to? We're bankrupt. We're a bankrupt nation. How much meddling can this man do? You forgot about Egypt that he and Hillary Clinton created, the monstrosity in Egypt, created by the same group? George Soros's money, Zbigniew Brzezinski's architecture. I've studied this. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. The overthrow of Mubarak, the institution of Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. Finally, the Egyptians rose up and threw Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood out. And what happened to that? In order to cover up the failure of Obama's Middle East so-called Arab Spring, which I named the Arab Winter, within a month of it, now we're going to look at Syria. And, he saved the Syrian people. And who did you save it for? Again, I'll remind you, I'm not going to apologize for all of the great books I've written. In 2005 or 6, I wrote a book called Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. And I said I fear that Bush's intervention in Iraq could turn out to be the worst military blunder of our life, in our lifetime. And I said, if it is, the big winner will be Iran. We will see a new Shia kingdom. The ancient Persia will emerge. Was I wrong? Iran's hands are all over Iraq. Iran is pulling the strings in Iraq. So now they have the new Persian Empire emerging. Well, let's go back a little farther in history. Those of you who don't know history are condemned to repeat it. Go back in history and see how far the lines of ancient Persia were drawn. And you will see, once again, that the big winner here is liable to be Iran, not the United States of America. So are we going to act as a Hessian army for the Iranians, who this administration claims are our enemies? Are we going to be another Hessian army again for the Iranians? We don't even know who's running things anymore. All I can tell you is that most Americans, myself included, oppose military intervention, even the intervention of Tomahawk missiles or the Air Force in Syria. Let me tell you that point blank. Number two, I want to bring you back to the big lie about the Serbs. I studied that war in great detail. Those 50 days when your government under Bill Clinton bombed the Serbian people and destroyed every bridge on the Danube River, river under the big lie of concentration camps was some of the worst days in my life on radio. I tried to disseminate the truth. I couldn't get it out there. It's one of the greatest travesties of our lifetime. Madeleine Albright was jumping with joy over it. She loved seeing the bombs falling on the Serbian people. And yet there were older Serbian men who stood there and said, as American planes repainted with NATO markings, that's what Clinton did for you. He took American Air Force planes and repainted them with NATO markings. And our Air Force bombed the Serbian people to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. Kosovo had been part of the Serbian nation since the 1300s. They stole it from the Serbian people. I wrote an article about it in 98 called Kosovo, the oily tracks run through it. But that's a separate story. It was about Caspian oil. I don't expect you to follow every detail of what I am saying right now. This is not a history lesson. This is a radio show. However, it's a popular radio show, and average people call the show and listen to the show. Some of you are more detail-oriented. So let me remind you, Bill Clinton lied, Madeleine Albright lied, the entire liberal media establishment lied, and they told us things that the Serbs had done that were not true in order to justify bombing Belgrade. And an old Serbian man looked up and said the last time he had seen bombs falling from the sky on Belgrade was when Hitler bombed Belgrade with Stuka bombers. He was crying because the Serbs had been the greatest friends of America during World War II. The Serbian partisans rescued our airmen as they fell from the sky. And yet we rewarded them when these socialist psychopaths took over our country. And here they go again. Here they go again. Another war. Why? Tell me the national interest for bombing Syria. Let's start with just a basic question. In whose interest is bombing Syria? Tell me who the winner is. 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We know now, of course, that they've already used it. I'm sure and confident that they... That they used it again, and they will use it again unless they are reined in and prevented from doing so. And by the way, this gives a blank check to other brutal dictators around the world. If they want to use chemical weapons and weapons of mass destruction as
well. Here he goes again. Now, this is the crazy man, McCain, who was either brainwashed in Vietnam or lost his mind in Vietnam, or he's senile or he's just born with a low intelligence. We don't understand what happened to McCain. We have no idea how a man who went to war for the country, served five horrible years in a torture camp in Vietnam, could come back and want to get your son into a concentration camp again. Why is he such a warmonger? Usually ex-military guys that I know are the ones who least like war, incidentally. The ones who've actually fought in combat are the ones who least want war. It's usually fat talk show hosts who want the war, who want to egg you on while they fly around in their jets and smoke cigars. Listen to now what McCain says in clip six.
In a matter of a couple of days, with using standoff weapons, we could take out their runways, take out the 40 or 50 aircraft that they're using, which is dominating the the battlefields and the towns and the cities, and we can supply the right kind of weapons to the rebels, establish a no-fly zone by using moving Patriot missiles up to the border. This can be done very easily. That's what General Keane and the Institute for the Study of War says, despite what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs has said, which is absolutely outrageous and ridiculous.
Screw you. How's that, John? Screw you. I'm sick of you. You know, Dempsey is not really someone I admire that much for being too PC in the Army, but Dempsey, who he's talking about here, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is now the enemy of McCain and the warmongers. Those members of the military-industrial complex, like McCain, wanted to push us into war, while Dempsey, who in fact is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said, no, don't do it. Now he's talking about helping the rebels. Who are the rebels, you putz, you? You stupid stumble bum, you! Why don't you define whose side you're on? I know you're against Assad. We all know he's a monster. But sometimes the monster you know is better than the monster you don't know. It's an old saying, John. Maybe you didn't learn it back in your Budweiser days. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Who are the rebels, John? It seems to me this has been planned a long time. And it seems to me that the warmongers who want Assad gone and want the so-called Al-Qaeda forces to succeed in Syria are behind all of this. And this really frightens me. This seems to me part and parcel with the overthrow of Gaddafi in Libya and the arrival on the scene of a tribal rule in Libya, which is what Gaddafi warned would happen. You're having a Somalia emerge in Libya. Again, that's a failure of Obama and Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. Egypt finally threw Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood out, again over the objections of Obama, McCain, and the other warmongers. And now they figured, well, we can't get anywhere in Egypt, so let's see if we can throw Assad to the wolves. Why are they on the side of these people? No one seems to be able to answer that. Nobody can answer that. It's easy to claim you're a humanitarian and we don't want to see gas used. Everyone's on that side. Now, the Israelis, by the way, are buying gas masks as we talk. Here's the headline. Israelis flock to buy gas masks amid Syria turmoil. Thousands of Israelis are lining up for gas masks, ordering them by phone, spurred on by fears that any Western military response to last week's alleged chemical weapons attack in Syria could ensnare their own country in war. Even the New York Post, a scandal sheet, is using the word alleged chemical weapons attack. Even the tabloid, the New York Post, is calling the chemical weapons attack an alleged chemical weapons attack. But to Kerry and to McCain and the other warmongers who are calling for military action to punish the Syrian government, it is not an alleged attack. So I think that they planned this all along. Something is wrong with this whole picture. Again, we have to go back in time. Gulf of Tonkin resolution based on a falsehood. Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. The only people who believed it were Wallbanger and the other neocons in the media. I never did. Never. Check my tapes. Wallbanger was all for war, but he never enlisted. I didn't see him and Rush Limbaugh strap on uniforms and go over to Iraq. They didn't join the rebels in Iraq. They egged you on and sent your son over there to come back in a body bag. Well, here we go again. I happened to tune in the Wallbanger today. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I could not believe what I was hearing. He was playing the middle, and he started hemming and hawing. Which side was he on? I don't know. I don't know why, but that's why he's slipping. No one knows what side he's on. Does he know which side he's on? He's wearing ice skates in a roller rink. Or shall I say, he's wearing roller skates in an ice rink. He doesn't know where he's turning. And he is symptomatic of what's going on in the media. I, on the other hand, am a student of history. I'm a scholar by training. Whether you like it or not doesn't matter to me. Whether you approve of my scholarship doesn't matter to me. Most of you who are detractors of Michael Savage are not qualified to even judge me. But I can read, and I can study, and I know history. And something is wrong with this picture. But then again, this is a talk show. I'm not a revolutionary, I'm not a politician, and I'm not out to win a Nobel Prize. I'm not even out to be allowed to enter England. No, apparently they reserve the invitations to the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, who has been invited into England while I'm still banned from England. But let's put that aside. Do you approve of Obama bombing Assad's Air Force? And if so, why? And if not, why? I think it's a big question, and I'd like to hear your opinion, because I know that most of you will be opposed to it. I'd like to hear someone who's for it. In fact, I'd like my call screener to find someone who can explain rationally why we should be in Syria. It's like, why are we in Vietnam? Why are we in Syria? What are we doing there? What's going on with this picture? Who is behind this? Okay, let's take some calls. Florida, Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
We have no business involving ourselves in Syria. It is a false flag attack committed by our own undercover agents in order to create more destabilization in the Middle East and create what could be World War III.
Well, I don't know whether it's a false flag event created by the CIA, which is what you're implying. I have no reason to believe that, but I would not put it past those on the so-called rebel side from killing their own civilians in order to marshal international sympathy. So I would leave it in that court. Yes, civilians were killed. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, gas is horrible. But by the way, who sold the gas to Syria? You know who sold the gas to Syria that they have?
We did.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-72.
Tired. You know how I bash Hollywood every day and how they push their liberal agendas on America, right? Well, the fact is, there are some good people in Hollywood. One of them is a good friend of mine, Robert Davi. He's a really good guy, a critically acclaimed actor. Robert Davi, you've seen him in hundreds of movies. He's always played the evil, bad Italian gangster. You know, but there's another side to him as well. He's an acclaimed singer. He grew up studying opera. And Robert Davi, by the way, has a couple of upcoming performances that you really want to hear about. Robert Davi, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
It's great to be on. Thank you.
So what's this concert coming up in New York that you want my audience on the Savage Nation to hear about?
I'll be on August 30th, which is this Friday, at Eisenhower Park in East Meadow, Long Island. I'll be doing a concert. Davi sings Sinatra. I'll be coming to my hometown on Long Island and singing my heart out. There's a county executive, Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano, brings these concerts to the people. You know, this great county executive for Nassau is Ed Mangano, who's doing these concerts, and he's done tremendous for Nassau County, especially after the hurricane. He's really has conservative values. He's bringing jobs back to Nassau County. They created a film studio there. He's made it business friendly, and the arts. He's a big supporter of the arts, and they do these outdoor concerts for the community. And it's not it's culturally diverse. It's not just big stars, but they have also, you know, the ethnic kind of music coming in for different people. And I think it's just wonderful in a community. And I went to Hofstra University, which is in Nassau, and it's great to see the vibrancy of them using that facility. And so I give them kudos. And I will be doing that show for everyone on August 30th. It's a free concert. They can bring their blankets. They can bring their snacks. And it's a great venue. They had Tony Orlando, and they had Huey Lewis in the news. I'll have a 15-piece orchestra. I have an opening act, Mike Marino, who's a terrific comedian. I just invite everyone to come out here and have a wonderful time.
Many have tried to imitate Sinatra, but most of them have come up really short. Now, how do you do it so well, yet keep your own style?
Well, you know, I studied opera, as you know, in Florence, and with Tito Coppi, and also with Dan Farrow at Juilliard and Samuel Margolies, who taught Robert Merrill, one of the great baritones of all time. And singing has always been in my heart and soul. If you ask my family members what I was going to be, I was going to be a singer. Currently, I've been working with Gary Katona the last several years, who's one of the greatest vocal teachers. I think we spoke about that one time before. Sinatra had a big, huge understanding of the voice. He studied with a guy from the Metropolitan Opera. He was the first guy that brought the bel canto technique to popular music. My understanding of that goes. It's not someone imitating someone's process. It's finding their own process and then bringing that to the music. And because there's a similarity in terms of one time on a show a couple of years ago, you were raging about where are the Italian singers. I don't know if you remember that, but I do, because it really struck a chord in me. I said to myself at that time, as I'm sitting right here, I've been blessed with a voice, and I have not done anything with it yet. And I did this film, The Dukes, where I sang one song, and that then ignited the spark in me. It's a combination of your musicality, your understanding of the music, and the great American songbook, which I call the Shakespeare of America, the golden age of American music. It's bringing that, I felt when Sinatra passed, there was a certain void. Because he also had a huge film career, so he had tremendous acting skills, as Dean Martin did, and of course Bing Crosby was, but a different kind of, in terms of voice, Sinatra to me was the epitome. So I don't know, it's the experience I have as a person, my understanding musically, and the voice, the vocal development that has a depth of tone that Sinatra brought to his music.
You do a lot for charity. Tell us about the upcoming event for drug and alcohol treatment.
Yeah, the lawyer, Robert Shapiro, is a friend of mine. His son was friends with mine. And, you know, I think one of the biggest problems plaguing our country, Dr. Savage, is the drug abuse, addiction. I think it's rampant, and every family gets touched by it. My family has been touched by it. And Bob Shapiro's boy, Brent, passed because of drug abuse, and him and his wife created a foundation, the Brent Shapiro Foundation, which is a very big event in Beverly Hills, tremendously attended, and it's for drug and alcohol awareness and rehabilitation. And I'll be performing there. They've had American Idol winners doing that before and some other singers, and I'll be performing there September 7th in Beverly Hills to help raise awareness and money for that foundation.
You're working with Don Rickles?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's just the Sinatra of comedy. Don Rickles is one of our great, great treasures that's still around. He's 87 years old, and I got to tell you, I saw him in Westbury a couple of months ago while I was filming in New York. I went to his show, and his mind skates like a 25-year-old, and had the audience laughing. And I wanted to, you know, because he's one of those legends. He and I will be at the Orleans September 28th and 29th for a tremendous show. I think it will be the closest to the old days that people are going to experience in terms of when, you know, you had that great 60s era on the Strip where Sinatra and everybody was around. So we're going to tear it up at night.
We're talking with singer-actor Robert Darby here on the Savage Nation. Robert, what upcoming movies are we going to see you in? What do you play?
Well, I just finished a film called The Iceman that was in theaters. It comes out, I think, in September on Blu-ray and on VOD and all that stuff. It got rave reviews with Michael Shannon and Ray Liotta, Chris Evans, Winona Ryder, James Franco, myself, the serial killer, Richard Kuklinski. I think you'll enjoy that film because I know you like Phil the Irishman. You brought that up a couple of times. So that's The Iceman. I just finished a movie called The Life about Danny A, who's one of the top promoters in New York for the club scene. And it's with Jerry Ferrara and Jay Ferguson and Jessica Schultz, and also Danny A, who's in The Iceman. He's an actor, terrific actor. And then I'll be going off to Bulgaria to do The Expendables 3 with, I think, the greatest group of all-star cast members they've put together in a long time, headed by Sylvester Stallone. And we got Schwarzenegger and Harrison Ford and Jet Li and Jason Statham, and just a great cast.
You even have a Christmas single coming out.
Yes, we're doing a... A guy wrote this, Nick Bellalongo, wrote a new Christmas song, and I heard this song. He did his own demo on the thing, and it was, of course, played differently than I would want to do it, and I told him I'd like to do this big band style. I got Chris Walden involved with the Buble's Christmas album, and we're going to Capitol Records September 9th and cutting this Christmas song called New York City Christmas, which I think could be, I'm very excited about, and, you know, it could be one of these classic songs. It's absolutely going to sparkle New York City, I can tell you that.
Okay, you do acting, you do singing, you're working all the time. Do you prefer one medium over the other, acting or singing?
You know, if someone had to say to me, I mean, I love doing both. You know, my and that's just my mediums of expression. But if I had to pick one, it would be the music, because I use all of myself in that. That's where my heart and soul lies. And there's nothing more satisfying when I play the Venetian, or like when I'll do this with Rickles, or when I'll do this Friday, August 30th in Long Island. There's nothing better than communicating to an audience directly. And, you know, I think it was Gustav Mahler that said, music is the closest to the absolute. When you're in that zone and there's a big band behind you and you feel that energy flowing through you, it's just nothing like it, especially the energy from the audience and the appreciation that they feel. So I would have to pick the music.
Okay, so where can my Savage Nation audience go to learn more about Robert Davi?
Well, they can go to DaviSingSinatra.com. That's D-A-V as in Victor I, SingSinatra.com. And we put updates on there, and there's news, and there's the reviews that we get, and some other information, and they can go there. They can get the album on Amazon or iTunes, and Davi Singh Sinatra on the Road to Romance. So that's how they can keep that, hopefully, when I come on your show.
Robert Davi, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks, Mike, and it's great talking to you, and hope to see you soon. I hope you can come to the Rickles show in Vegas. I'd love you to be there, and please have all your friends on August 30th. Let them wear Savage Nation boots so I know who they are. And I can give them a shout-out.
This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's just that one party has taken straight aim at the middle class. The Democrats live for more onerous regulation on businesses. That's irrelevant.
Michael Savage.
Of course the Republicans are for big business, but the Democrats are for big business. It's big business that runs the country. So what's wrong with big business?
Without big business, there'd be no big country.
So let's stop being fools about it. We're no longer making buggy whips and Swiss cheese in our backyard.
The Savage Nation. Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
The war drums are beating. Kerry, who I don't believe, frankly, ever has told the truth in his entire life, wants us to go to war against Syria. Let us see, who else? Elliot Engel of New York wants us to bomb Syria. John McCain, of course, the lunatic, wants us to bomb Syria. There are many others tied into the military-industrial complex who are itching for war. You do know that the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was based upon a lie, and that got us into the Vietnam War. You do know, of course, that there were no weapons of mass destruction. That got us into Iraq. You do know, of course, nobody knows why we are in Afghanistan. And now, as if those wars are not enough of a lesson for us, the latest poll tells us that only 9% of Americans are for military intervention in Syria. I bring you this question. Do you support or oppose bombing Assad's forces in Syria, and why? 855-400-7282. Do you support or oppose bombing Assad's forces in Syria, and why? The phone number to the Savage Nation is 855-400-7282. The next soundbite is even more suspicious. It's from John Kerry, a man not known for his veracity. Listen to clip two.
This is about the large-scale, indiscriminate use of weapons that the civilized world long ago decided must never be used at all. A conviction shared even by countries that agree on little else. Anyone who could claim that an attack of this staggering scale could be contrived or fabricated needs to check their conscience and their own moral compass.
Well, we won't say that it was contrived or fabricated, Mr. Kerry, but there may be evidence that they killed their own villagers in order to get you what you need in order to go to war. Now, before I take more of your calls on this very serious topic, because Elliot Engel's son is not going to go to fight in Syria, John McCain's son is not going to go to fight in Syria, Barack Obama's son is not going to go to fight in Syria, John Kerry's son is not going to be sent to Syria, it will be Mr. and Mrs. America again who will lose their sons. The sons will come home in body bags because of these hateful warmongers who can never get enough of war. Never! There's never enough war for these sickos. And I'll remind you of something else. One of the greatest presidents of our time was Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was the Supreme Allied Commander during World War II. And he warned us in the 1950s when he was president about a growing connection between the military and the weapons manufacturers. And I have played this speech ever since I began a radio in 1994, and I'll play it again. Eisenhower, please.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
Now, he was a member of Old America, that is Dwight D. Eisenhower, one of the English-speaking white males that Al Sharpton apparently detests. He's waiting for the day that we look, I guess, more like Rhodesia, ex-Rhodesia, or like South Africa, where things are just perfect right now. But let's go back to the bigger picture, not the pimple on the political wall. And the bigger picture is war, war, and more war. 9% of the American people are in favor of intervention in Syria. That does not stop Kerry. It does not stop Obama. It does not. Well, actually, Obama, to his credit, is sitting on the fence. And I have to give him credit for that, for sitting on the fence. Do you think we should bomb Assad's forces in Syria? Don't you think Russia will react to such a provocation? Remember, Syria is in Russia's backyard, not in our backyard. It is in Russia's sphere of influence, not in our sphere of influence. Why are we intervening again in an international situation which has literally no bearing on our national security? And there, you have to come to the conclusion that the forces that made trillions of dollars on weapons manufacturing in Iraq and are making less so in Afghanistan are panicking as we get to leave Afghanistan. I mean, we're supposedly going to leave Afghanistan. They're terrified that their business will dry up. This is like firemen starting a fire in order to make certain that firehouses continue to be funded. You get it? That's how many people see this. But I'm open to those of you who want to go to war as long as you don't have to fight it. I'm asking you now nothing personal. We're not talking about Indian buffets. I'm not going to talk about greasy Chinese food over the weekend. Getting cheated again by a restaurant I've eaten in for 40 years. But she smiles in my face and gave me, I couldn't find anything in there but slimy vegetables. Seafood. Okay, but I'm not going to talk about the Indian buffet today with a 300-pound liberal in front of me blocking the line. Asking the poor Indians to describe every gluten-free item on the menu with the pandering, oh, how charming little third world man. And what else do we have here? With a behind on a, you couldn't get around a blocking the line. I had to say, hey, lady, I'd like to have a meal here. Move over. Oh, sure, another Obama voter. I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about war, war, war. See, I'm the conservative, and I'm the bad guy. You liberals are the good guys, but you're what, you're for war? Which side are you on? Which side are the liberals on here? I'm against it. So now what? The liberals are for it because I'm against it? Do they have any idea what's really going on around them? I don't think so. I don't think so because I remember when Clinton was bombing Serbia, I reached a San Francisco politician who was mayor at the time. He said, oh, I'm all for the bombing. Mr. Liberal was all for the bombing, the mayor of San Francisco. It just shows you who they really are. Let's take the next caller. WINS in Virginia. Glenn, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Thank you for trying to keep the entities from pulling the wool over our eyes once again. If we get involved in Syria, and we should not, but if we do, we should attack and destroy the rebels. This whole thing is started. Look at Egypt right now. Morsi's out of power, but he's out of power so they can kill the Christians, kill the Coptics, and then he's going to miraculously come back to power and say, it wasn't me, it was the rebels. But in Syria, it is Osama bin Laden who is lured.
No, wait. Let me go back to Egypt. You're actually wrong about that. The generals are defending the Christians in Egypt from the Islamists who are burning churches and killing Christians in Egypt. It's the generals who actually are protecting the Christians. And if you want to talk about Christianity in Syria, let's talk about it. They are protected by Assad, while the rebels will destroy their churches and murder them. The rebels who Obama and McCain and Kerry want to help are no friends of the Christian and Jewish communities in Syria, which are ancient communities, incidentally. Thank you for the call. Okay, this is not revisionist history. This is the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282. Which side are you on? KCMO out of Kansas City. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You got me a lot about the bombing in Serbia. I remember that. And I think about how much, well, the blue dress, we're not going to go into it. But as far as...
As I understand, she can't go into it anymore either.
Well, as far as we know. But
Yeah, I think she outgrew it. But which side are you on in the Syria thing?
Well, we really have no business in probably more than 80, 90% of what we're doing over there. I'm a Gulf War veteran from back in 90, and this is kind of in hindsight, and I take a look at what laid out, how the timetable went along. Okay, Iraq invaded Kuwait. That was, you know, needed to be taken care of.
Right, that's right. And now look how Kuwait is treating us now. Our good friends in Kuwait, look how nicely they're treating America. But that's besides the point. But they invented WMDs. Didn't Bush put out that big lie?
Well, they did or didn't, but the point I wanted to make was that when U.S. troops parachuted into the Saudi border there, it was because they had to. We could never have gotten U.S. forces into the Middle East before then. And it was just a banquet waiting for these people who manufacture these weapons and do all this. They could be there forever.
Oh, what you're saying is it's one war after another. It's a banquet of weapons use and ammunition, munitions and weapons.
Yes. I mean, blatantly, to see that they had put so much planning into it and somebody was smart enough to not let that crisis go to waste, it's paying off, you know, ridiculously.
Okay, so you as a Gulf War veteran are against intervention in Syria, is what I conclude, correct?
Right. You know.
Okay, that's good. Is there anybody for bombing Syria? Someone who can justify rationally why we should bomb Assad's air force? I don't know any rational reason for this because you have to understand what will happen as a result. What the heck are we doing in Syria? What the heck are we doing bombing Assad? Where is the national interest here?
Savage.